The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
Right, it's not today, that's just a great show. Yeah, it's the principles of Islam, the basics of Islam. The Sheikh Yusuf Esther, that's just a great show. Every Friday, 2 p.m. It's not today, with Sheikh Yusuf Esther. This is Islam Today, with Sheikh Yusuf Esther.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wassalam rasulullah. You're listening to Islam Today. We're broadcasting to you almost live all the way from Birmingham, Alabama. We're having a wonderful and exciting program today. An open house is being held here in the local masjid or mosque. And we're sharing what some of the understandings and teachings of Islam with both the Muslims and the non-Muslims. And we welcome all of our guests. I'm your host, Yusuf Estes. And for the next few minutes, we're going to be talking about a very interesting and controversial subject called Islam and terrorism. And by the way, you can visit the internet at IBN.net. That's Islamic Broadcasting Network, IBN.net. And then go to Islam Today at IBN.net to send us email. So we'll begin now talking about Islam and terrorism. First of all, I would like to say that ever since the last maybe 10 years, there's been a lot of association between the word terrorism and the word Islam. This is definitely incorrect unless you put it in the right venue. And I will tell you that the right way to look at it is to say that definitely Islam is the biggest enemy to terrorism. So if you wanted to say Islam and terrorism, this would be the proper perspective to bring it from. Islam came as a way of life, a complete way of life for the human being from the cradle to the grave, describing for him to be in total surrender, submission, obedience, and peace with his Lord. This is the meaning of the word Islam. Islam came as an official religion, as a noun, if you will, 1400 years ago. But it came as a way of life from the very first person, Adam. It's not essential that a person know the Arabic language to be a person who has a good relationship with the Lord. It's essential that the person does have the correct inside. His heart and his intention has to be for his Lord. That's the meaning of Islam, to be at peace and in surrender, submission, and obedience in sincerity with his Lord. If he has that, then he's a Muslim, because the word Muslim, by the way, comes from the word Islam, mu-Islam, instead of Islam-er. There's just the prefix of the letter meme instead of the suffix er. So Muslim, one who does Islam, can be a person who doesn't even know the word Islam, never heard the name Muhammad, never heard about peace be upon him, never heard about the Quran, never even heard the word Allah. All he has to do is recognize that he has a creator and a sustainer and acknowledge that and have an attitude of gratitude. If he has that and he's worshiping his God alone without partners, he has already achieved a big success. So this was the understanding, the meaning of what came with Adam, peace be upon him, and every prophet after him, up until Muhammad, peace be upon him, and every one of them was sent as a warner to the people to tell them not to set up something in worship beside God. Because if they are truly worshipers of God, they will not worship what he created. That's the main focus of Islam, is what you worship. One of the tests that we've been put in as a part of our worship is that we would use whatever Allah gives us to do his commandments. And one of his commandments is that we must establish right and righteous on the earth and defend it. And we must forbid that which takes away from right and righteous. The verse in the Quran is in Surah Al-Imran, chapter 3, verse 110. It says, A'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim, I seek refuge with Allah from the condemned devil. They say that before you recite from the Quran. Kuntun khayrun umatin ukhrijat lin-nasi ta'muruna bil-ma'ruf wa tanhauna 'anil munkar wa tu'minuna billah. The meaning, more or less, the English language said, you're the best of people raised up. He's talking to the Muslims. You're the best of people raised up because you call to al-ma'ruf and you forbid al-munkar and you believe in Allah. Tu'minu billah means iman or faith in Allah. The subjugation here of the belief in Allah is so strange, and I have to mention that immediately because you heard two actions called for before belief. And throughout our program, since I've been here, I've stressed over and over and over that everything in Islam is based on belief first. Every action is predicated on belief first. Even the intention in the earlier program about intention, it's predicated on correct belief. If you don't believe in Allah, your good deed is worthless. It's a rag. It's a piece of garbage. So how does this relate to the subject of terrorism? I want you to listen real close and see what you think about this. I'd left two words in Arabic language, and I want to come back to those. Because throughout the Quran, from Surah Baqarah, chapter 2, until Surah 104, which is the passage of time, Al-Asr, there's a statement that runs frequently throughout the Quran. It's very redundant, over and over, talking about those people who come to the right faith and do good deeds. Those people who come to the right faith and do good deeds. And it says, Ladina amanu wa amilu salihat. Ladina, those who have the iman, aminu, iman, belief, correct belief, wa amilu salihat, which means the righteous deeds. Always the belief in Allah is first, except in this one verse. But it doesn't say amalu. It doesn't say the amalat or the actions of the person. What it says here is maruf and munkar, specifically using two words that are often translated in weak translations, and that's all you can really do with Quran to English, is to say good, call to good, and forbid evil. Call to good and forbid evil, or call to righteousness and forbid evil. But the real meaning behind it is to call to Allah and what He has ordained, and forbid anything that takes people away from the belief in God and what He has ordained. And if you understand that, that's a different meaning than just good deeds. And when we ask the scholars of Islam, how could it be that the belief in Allah became subjugated to these particular actions? He said, because these are not regular actions. If you're not willing to stand up and call to what you know to be right, and you're not willing to defend what you know to be righteous, and you're not willing to stop the things which will put people in hell, you're not willing to stop the things which will destroy life on this earth, then how in the world do you claim to believe in Allah? And that became an issue for me to work on from that point forward. And then suddenly, I started to understand a lot more the depth behind this word called al-jihad. You're listening to Islam Today. I'm your host, Yusuf Estes. We'll be right back.
Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah fi al-dunya wal-akhirah. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah fi dini wa dunyaya wa ahli wa mali. اللهم استر عوراتي وآمن روعاتي اللهم احفظني من بين يدي ومن خلفي وعن يميني وعن شمالي ومن فوقي وأعوذ بعظمتك أن أغتال من تحتي.
O Allah, I ask you for pardon and well-being in this life and the next. O Allah, I ask you for pardon and well-being in my religious and worldly affairs, and my family and my wealth. O Allah, veil my weaknesses and set at ease my dismay. O Allah, preserve me from the front and from behind, and on my right and on my left, and from above. And I take refuge with you, lest I be swallowed up by the earth.
We're back, and you're listening to Islam Today. What is jihad? Because frequently when we talk about terrorism and Islam, the word jihad pops up, and they say, oh, this is holy war. Again, wrong. Because there is nothing in Islam about holy war. There's nothing in Islam about ghazwa, which means war or battle, and quds, which means sacred. Sacred battle? What's that? People get killed. We're not talking about ruining somebody's life, we're talking about ending their life. And if we go to chapter 5 of the Quran, verse 38, it says, if anybody takes an innocent life, it's as though they killed all of humanity. So it's very horrible to take an innocent life. The only lives it's permitted in Islam to take are those in retribution. A murdering scumbag that's going around here killing people, you can kill him. In fact, you should. So he won't do it anymore, and it'll discourage other people from the same thing. So this is acceptable in Islam. And by the way, the Old Testament is very similar to the same points. I'm mentioning this not in comparative religion, but to just show you that this is not a strange thing. This is not strange. That people are innocent until they're presumed innocent until proven guilty. That's Islam, and of course that's what we have in America today. Again, not to do comparison between Islamic government and the government of the West, but to say that what's right is right. If a person is calling to God, then this is not wrong. If they're calling to righteousness, this is not wrong. But if a person is actually out here spreading like drugs and prostitution and promoting rape and violence and terrorism, this is against Islam. And you have to be willing to stand up, and in this case is Munkar, that which takes people away from the belief in the one true God. The things that if you make a law that said, no, you can't propagate Islam here, then you have to fight against that, because we have to have the right to say what's Islam. We have to. Otherwise, how do you say you believe in God and you can't even talk about Him? In this case, your life becomes expendable, because it's the only time your life is expendable when you're defending the faith and the honor and the righteousness. And you, of course, your family, you can defend your family. That's a part of it. You should defend your family. Somebody's attacking your house. You stand there and go, I'll just keep praying. Oh, God, don't let nothing happen. Oh, God, don't let... you got a gun, pick it up. Say, well, God created everything. He could stop these people. Sure, He could. Or He could have not even put you in the test. He could have put you on Mars today. But He didn't. You're here, and you have a test to see what will you do. So we understand jihad from the root word jahada, not from the word juhud, which some mistakenly mention. Juhud means to accomplish a task that you set out to do, like build a big building or something like that. When you're all through, it was a lot of struggle, a lot of work. You said, whew, we made juhud on the building. We finished it. We accomplished it. This is not the meaning. Okay? And others say, well, jihad, it actually means an inner struggle inside of oneself. This can be the meaning, but in the Quran, it's clear it's not talking about that. Because when it says jihad, fi sabilillah means to go in the way, sabil, in the way of Allah. And it doesn't mean to stand there and struggle with yourself, you know. Somebody attacking your village or attacking your community, attacking your mosque, and you're standing there out in the yard going, okay, I'm doing jihad in myself. Oh, yeah. What are you talking about, man? It's not what it means. And why lie? You look like a fool. And you put down your religion. Stand up and tell the truth. If you can't tell the truth, don't say anything. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the one who believes in Allah and the last day, either say something good or shut up. That's Texas translation, the Yasmut. Meaning that this is one of those cases. If you can't say what's right, don't say anything at all. So I'm very disappointed in a lot of Muslims who stand there and apologize. First of all, for something you didn't even do. Doesn't have anything to do with you or me, for sure. Okay? Second of all, it's not Islam, so you don't have to apologize for Islam. Now, if you know something about what happened on 9/11 and you're holding that back, that's another story, and I'm going to be the first one to turn you in. Okay? Just know that up front. Because I don't have any allegiance to any secret group. I'm for what Allah says, and that's it. And if it works, and our government here in America is for that, then I'm for it too. That's great. But be sure Islam does not ever promote acts of terrorism. It denounces them. And in fact, we're the first ones 1,400 years ago to declare a war against terrorism. And it's called jihad. That's what jihad is. It's a war against terrorism. For the defense of those who are defenseless. For a protection against those who are unable to protect themselves. And a way to establish righteousness on this earth, so that tyranny and the devil's workshop doesn't rule. Now, let's go to some of the details of it. Who can declare a quote-unquote jihad? And under what conditions? And where? And when? Individuals cannot. It doesn't work. If it's an individual and he's doing jihad, that would be on himself. That would be trying to purify his intentions, cleaning up his act, praying regularly, and these are very clear meanings in this case. But as an ummah, as a nation, as a jama'ah, as a group, as a gathering, then it has to be under the leadership of one who has the bay'ah or the pledge given to him by the Muslims, and he is in authority to call for this kind of thing. For instance, I will mention in the case of Saddam Hussein, This man called for jihad back during the Gulf conflict, what they called the Gulf War, the Gulf. They called it something, what did they call it? Desert Storm, and had a lot of, these guys, I don't know, they must contact somebody in Hollywood to help them come up with the names for this stuff. But in any case, he was saying this was jihad, but none of the countries joined him, by the way. None of the Muslim countries came running to his aid, even though he said this is a jihad. And likewise, I guess Mulana Omar and Osama bin Laden was calling for something in jihad in Afghanistan. And again, they didn't find countries running over there. Oh, there were individuals who went, but they didn't find a mass following. And the reason is because nobody actually accepted that that was an Islamic state with a leader who had the bay'ah or the pledge. But be careful, by the way. Don't think that means that Muslims wouldn't fight. If there were a khalifa, a leader for all the Muslims, and he did declare such a thing, then most likely you would see something pretty hairy. But we haven't had such a thing in 80 years, since 1922, when the last khalifa fell, and that was Ataturk, under the influence of Ataturk. It was Sultan Abdulhamid who was the last khalifa, and that was destroyed by Kemal Mustafa Pasha, also known aka as Kemal Ataturk. I'm mentioning this just so you can understand that the only one that has the authority to do that is a real Muslim leader, and the only ones who can go and answer that are those who are called upon to do it. And there's, it says clearly in the Quran that some will go and some have to stay. We have to keep some of our scholars behind to teach the religion. We have to keep some of our men behind to protect the women, and so on. And by the way, the jihad doesn't call on the women to do anything. This is an emergency situation. Just as it would be in most societies, that you don't put your women out on the front line. It's not common sense. You kill the women, then you don't have any way to keep your group going. How do you, if you kill all the women, you leave all the men alive, and you just ended the game. And just wait for the generations to expire, and they're finished. So the women aren't put on the front line or put in that kind of position. Although in Islamic history you can find that some of the best heroes that we had in battle were women. The first woman to die, I should have said the first martyr for Islam, I already gave it away, didn't I? The first martyr of an Islam is a woman, Sumaya, the mother of Amr ibn Yasir. Yasir is her husband and Amr is her son. And she was the first one who was tortured to death because she would not go back to saying the multiple gods of Lat and Uzza and the false worship that they had in the Arabian Peninsula at that time. Then they tortured her until they rammed a spear into her private parts and killed her. So she became the first martyr for Islam. This, by the way, shows us what a test this life really is. If you truly believe in Allah and the message of the worship of the one true God, you'll be tested. And Allah says this in the Quran in chapter 29, verse 2 and 3. Look at it for yourself. I'll just give you the English translation. Do they think they'll be left alone on saying we believe and that they won't be tested? For sure, as we tested those before them, we will test them to show the truthful of those that are true and to expose the liars in their falsehood. So just because somebody said, I'm a Muslim, that's not the end, that's the beginning. That's the beginning of the test of this life. And Allah tells us again in chapter 2, Surah Baqarah, ayah 208, He said, O you who believe, enter into Islam perfectly. And do not follow the footsteps of a shaitan. And the word Satan in English comes from the Arabic word shaitan, which means the devil. It's very clear about that subject. So it's a test. Test, test, test. Allah tells us in the Quran, you will be tested in your family and your children and your wives and in the material things. They're all a test. And He used the word fitna describing this. Fitna is a big word. It doesn't just mean test. It means calamities, big time hardships from this test of this life. You're listening to Islam Today. I'm your host, Yusuf Estes. We'll be right back.
Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik wa tabarak ismuk wa ta'ala jadduk wa la ilaha ghayruk.
How perfect you are, O Allah, and I praise you. Blessed be your name. And lofty is your position, and none has the right to be worshipped except you.
We're back, and you're listening to Islam Today. So if a person can go through this life and keep focusing on Allah no matter the hardships that come and worshiping Him alone, then he's successful. As the Prophet ﷺ told us, he said the condition of the mu'min, the believer, is strange because only good things happen to him. Whenever good befalls him, he's thankful to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Praises to God. And any calamity comes his way, he's patient. Alhamdulillah. He's steadfast. And sabr has two meanings, patient and steadfast. And that's good for him, but this is only in the case of the mu'min. Only in the case of the one who has iman and Allah. Only in the case of the believer. So for us, we want to be believers, but we don't know who's really a believer. Because that's in the heart. We say we can be a Muslim. Anybody can be a Muslim. By the way, just say, I submit to Allah, and you became a Muslim on the spot. But if anybody said, I'm a believer, he's negating his Islam, because it means what? You mean Allah is accepting you? Oh, yeah? Hope so. You didn't ask about this question earlier, but I want to bring this into the picture. I want to bring this around the corner and sneak it in. Okay? What I want to mention about is that when we talk about being somebody calling himself a believer, that's to assume you have a position in the paradise. Islam is also strange. The Prophet ﷺ said the condition of a believer is strange. Islam itself is strange. And the Prophet ﷺ, peace be upon him, said Islam came strange and it will return strange, meaning that we were going to lose it for a while, and sure enough we have. He said, but it'll come back strange and give the good news to the strangers. Who are the strangers? And by the way, when we start talking about strange, look how strange Islam really is. Islam is calling the people, come and believe, like us. Come on and believe this way. So if somebody said, okay, tell me what you got. Where's your plan of salvation? If I want to be a Muslim, what do you got? Well, that's what people want to know. Okay? Bottom line, what am I buying? Can you guarantee me if I become a Muslim, I'm going to paradise? Do you promise I'm going to go to paradise? Will you put it in writing, sign it, affidavit, notarize it, and file it in the county courthouse? And the answer is what? No way, Jose. What? I mean, you know, I come in and I said all the stuff you told me to say. Can I go to paradise? Nope. Why? Because I don't know what's in your heart, man. I'm sorry. In fact, our Prophet, peace be and blessing be upon him, told us an amazing statement. He said, verily, a person will go through this whole life acting like somebody from the hell until he reaches the point where he's almost in hell. Nothing more than an arm's length between him and a hell fire. But then what Allah wrote for him overtakes him, and he acts like the people of paradise. He dies in this condition, he goes to paradise. Conversely, the Prophet ﷺ said, the one who will go through the whole life acting like somebody from paradise. This is an angel, man. Look at this guy. Until he's so close, he's almost in paradise, an arm's length away. But then what's written for him overtakes him, meaning that Allah already knew his nature, and his real nature catches up with him, and he acts on this evil nature. He dies in that condition, and as a result, he goes to hell. May Allah save us from that. So it means nobody knows who's going. And I remember, again, I go back to my background. I remember the days in the Baptist church, and I remember very well a dear friend of mine telling me, son, everybody talking about heaven ain't necessarily going. It's a good lesson in that. And it's true, because in Islam we have exactly that. Nobody has any promise of anything unless what? Unless you have done your best. And even then, look what it says. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, said nobody will enter the paradise except by the grace, the rahmah of Allah. They said, even you? He said, even me. So, whoa. Now, there's no guarantee whatsoever. It's on the grace of Allah. None of us are saved but by grace. And again, this is not against the teaching of what we hear in other monotheistic religion. It's not that far off, is it? But come to this point, what about your leaders? What about your priests, your bishops, your cardinals, and your pope? Well, in Islam, we don't have that. We have leaders who have knowledge in Islam. But if you start to think that these people have a special connection with Allah that you don't have, you're already astray. You're already stepping in the wrong direction. Because trust me, you don't know that about me. But I can put on an act like you can't believe. And I've got the costume and the wardrobe to go with it, man. Because I travel all over the country. They give me, from Turkey, I have this long black gown thing that I can put on and a big, huge turban. And from from Afghanistan, the little pillbox cap looks like pita bread on top of it. Or I can, I know they're going to be mad for that one. from Saudi Arabia, I can put on the ghutra and the egal with the black rings on it and come out there with my zikr beads. And you can say, wow, man, I heard somebody say that about me one time when I had on one of my quote-unquote Islamic scholar dresses, you know, and this person said, oh man, he's so pious. I'm going, okay, that's it, throw that away, because this is damaging in Islam. This is very damaging when you start to think you got something going with the law. You don't. That's the first step out of Islam, is to start associating partners, and that's a partner with Allah. You don't say this man is close to Allah. We wish. We do know there's something called Wali Allah, which means a friend of Allah, means somebody who's trying to be close to Allah, and maybe Allah is giving him some nice things in this life as a result. But we don't know really, ultimately, as I said earlier, who's got what. But check this out. To be clear, on the scholars of Islam, the leaders of Islam, our Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, told us that Allah, Almighty God, will start the fire of hell with the leaders of Islam who preached it but didn't live it. Start the fire of hell for these people. For me, I hope and pray I'm not one of those people. Because the only thing different from me and somebody else may be how much knowledge I have. But then somebody else may have more than me. But what did Allah tell us about knowledge? Very clearly told us. يَلَامُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِهِمْ وَمَا خَفَهُمْ وَلَا يُهِتُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ إِلْمِهِ This is in Ayatul Kursi, verse 255 of the Holy Quran, in Surah Baqarah. It said that Allah knows what's in front of and behind His creation, meaning the future and the past. But His creatures have no knowledge except the knowledge that He gives them. And I will assure any of our brothers and sisters in Islam, if you think knowledge is all you need to go to paradise, big problem. Because I'll ask you, don't you believe that there's a devil? Isn't his name really Iblis? And didn't he exist before Adam? And didn't he make a big mistake? And didn't Allah tell him that he will go to hell if he didn't repent and make the sajda, the prostration, and he refused? Allah said, you're going to go to hell. He said, I don't care. Just let me take Adam and all his sons and daughters with me. That's more or less the translation. And Allah said, okay, take them all that you can. That's right. Now, since that time until now, Iblis is still alive. Don't you think he knows something about Islam? Don't you think he knows something about human beings? And remember what the Prophet ﷺ said, nobody is saved from the fire except by the grace. So I pray for that grace for all of us. And I ask Allah to forgive me for my poor way of bringing the program. And I ask Allah to guide me to do better, I mean. I ask all of you to be patient with me, because I'm like you, I'm still learning too. But for sure one thing, when we talk about Islam and terrorism, 1400 years ago, before there was even a George W. Bush from Texas, Islam already declared a war against terrorism, and it's called jihad. And may Allah make the Muslims understand the true meaning of it and act on that. And may Allah save all of us from a horrible condition and bring this world together in a better way and in peace. Ameen. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. You're listening to Islam Today. We're broadcasting to you almost live all the way from Birmingham, Alabama. You can visit us on the internet at IBN.net. That's IBN.net. The website's open 24 hours a day, and always plenty of free parking.
Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira, wa la yaghfiru al-dhunuba illa ant, faghfir li maghfiratan min indik. وَارْحَمْنِي إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ
O Allah, I have indeed oppressed my soul excessively,